story from 1 Samuel this morning, chapter 17. 1 Samuel, chapter 17. Now the Philistines gathered together to battle at Succoth, which belonged to Judea, and encamped at Azekah in Ephidim. And Saul and the men of Israel gathered together and encamped by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with the valley between. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of bronze upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat of mail was 5,000 shekels of bronze. He had shin armor of bronze upon his legs, and a javelin he carried of bronze between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and the spear head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, "Why are ye come out to set the battle in array? Am not I a Philistine? And ye are servants of Saul. Choose you a man, and let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then ye shall be my servants." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we might fight together." And when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of the Ephraite of Bethlehem, whose name was Jesse, who had 8 sons, and the man went among them as an old man in the days of Saul. And 3 of his eldest sons went and followed Saul to battle, and the name of his 3 sons that went to battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and the next was Abinadab, and the 3rd was Shammah. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine Goliath drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David, his son, "Take now for thy brethren an ephod of this parched grain, and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousands, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge." Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight, and the shout for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left the baggage in the hand of the keeper of the baggage, and ran into the army and came and greeted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spoke the same words as before, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were very much afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man, Goliath, who has come up surely to defy Israel? Is he come up? And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel." And David spoke to the men who stood by, saying, "What shall be done for the man who killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him after this manner, saying, "So shall it be done for the man who killeth him." And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, "Why camest thou down here? With whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightst see the battle." And David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" And he turned again from him toward another and spoke after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spoke, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth." And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after them and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." And David said, "Moreover, the Lord who delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet upon his, a bronze upon his head, and also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he attempted to go, for he had not tested it. And David said to Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them." And David put them off. And he took his staff in his hand, and he chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in his shepherd's bag, which he had even his wallet. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his God. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowl of the air, and to the beasts of the fields. Then David said to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with the sword, and with the spear, and a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou defiest. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the Philistines this day unto the fowl of the air and unto the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saves not with the sword and the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hastened and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took from there a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in the forehead, and the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with the sling and with the stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword and slew and drew it out of the sheath, and slew him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until the coming of the, until thou comest to the valley and to the gate of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Sharon, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines and plundered their camp. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem and put his armor in his tent. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, As thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. And the king said, Inquire thou whose son this stripling is. And David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines. And Abner took him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said unto him, Whose son art thou, thou young man? And David answered, I am the son of thy servant Jesse of Bethlehem. Lord, and his blessing to the reading of the word. It's a long chapter, but God's word is, it's really important that we hear God's word. It's God's word that's going to bring us to salvation. There's a lot here in this chapter. There's the two armies. There's the two kings. There's the two responses of the king. And then there's this giant. I had a tape measure, but you know, I don't think that this room's big enough. The giant was nearly 10 feet tall. And I don't know how many people he'd have to stand up to get his weight. He probably weighed somewhere between 600, maybe 700. If he was a skinny guy, he might weigh 700 pounds. Or if he was real hefty, he might weigh 800 or 900 pounds. He had about 150 to about 170 pounds of armor on, with the brass helmet, the coat of mail, the shin guards, and all his armor was maybe 175 pounds, about as much as I weigh. And he had a spear, the weaver's beam. I tried to find out what the weaver's beam was like, but they say the weaver's beam was maybe 2 inches wide and maybe 6 feet long. And the spearhead was maybe 15 to 19 pounds. This man was a big man, and if he could throw that spear, he was a big man. The average man in those days, the average man was maybe about 5'6". 5'4", 5'6", was pretty high for the average man. We've grown with food and so forth. So David might have been 5'4", or 5'6". And Goliath was nearly 10 feet tall. The Philistines were like the world. They're constantly warring against the people of God, the nation of Israel, and others. Israel was God's chosen people. It's interesting that the Philistines were from Noah's son Ham, and Israel was from Noah's son Shem, and a lot of us were probably from the son of Japheth. But all of us were from Adam's son, Adam's children. We all have that, unfortunately, we all have that sinful nature. It says, by Adam's sin in chapter 5 of Romans, wherefore as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death is passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Goliath is a picture of the devil, I think. He's come forth to steal and to kill and to destroy. You know, the devil today, it's very evident. I don't know if you folks get calls on your phone. We have an answering machine that tells us who's calling. And we get a lot of these probable spam calls, which we don't answer. And there's calls, sometimes you get a call, or you make a call to try to do something. And unfortunately, it's the wrong call. And somebody gets your identification. And that's a picture of what the world's trying to do, what the devil wants to do today. And if you look at the school systems, it goes on and on. It's sad what's happening in the world today. The world is warring against us. The world is not our friend. 1 John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. But David's an interesting part of this chapter. David's the main character. And David is a shepherd boy. David's the second king. We read about Saul and all Israel. It said that they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Dismayed could mean the same as consternation. And consternation is sudden fear, panic. It's terrifying fear. And when they saw Goliath, their hearts were full of fear. And they were hopeless. All Israel, this is the army of Israel. It says in verse 24, when all the men of Israel, when they saw Goliath, they fled from him and were very much afraid. You know, the world today and the devil loves nothing to keep us in fear. And to try to control our lives. David comes along. His dad sends him. He says, go, take this food for your brothers and see how they're doing. You know, dads, whenever you leave home, dads are still interested in what's happening. They still love you. They want to know how it's going. And his dad sent him, and you see David, he packs up and he leaves early in the morning. He's faithful to his father's leaving call. And he sends him, and Saul's heart was full of fear. He was the king that men's choice. He was the man's choice for king. But David was not known yet as king, but he was God's choice. And when he hears what Goliath says, and it's amazing, Goliath went out before him for 40 days and 40 nights, morning and evening. He would go out and he'd challenge the people, give me a man to fight me. And I might have been like the ranks of Israel. I might not have been so eager to run out and fight him. But David, when he heard what this man said, when he defied Israel, he was defying Israel's God. It's kind of like Pharaoh and Moses and Aaron in chapter 5 of Exodus went in before Pharaoh. And they said, God sent us, the God of the Hebrews sent us to you to let our people go. He said, I know not the Lord, neither will I let them go. Well, God dealt with him, and he soon learned who God was. But David, when he hears these words, it's wonderful what he says. This is what he said in chapter 17, verse 26. And David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach or the shame that he's bringing upon them? The reproach from Israel. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And as he spoke, the words got to Saul. And he came to Saul. And it's wonderful here. I saw a picture. I don't know if you folks get the magazine that... getting older. Upload, thank you very much. That the brother from New Jersey writes. And I saw an illustration there. Someone had a picture made of David and the Philistines. And of course you have the picture of the giant who probably couldn't stand up in here. And behind him, there was like a shelf of rock, and the Philistines, the army's sitting there, and they're all pointing. And in a way, this is what Saul says. He said, David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail, for I will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul says, "You're not able to go." Basically, he's saying, "You're just a kid. You know, this man has fought from when he was young." And then David tells about his life of faith. He tells how that he was keeping his father's sheep, and a lion came out and a bear came out and took a lamb. He could have said, "Well, I'm sorry, we're going to lose the lamb." But no, he went out after them and brought them back. He was on duty. He was in charge of those sheep. And by the Lord's help, he got his lambs back. And he said, "The Lord delivered me. The Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me from this giant." And then Saul tries to arm him, and David had, you know, Saul, they think Saul might have been 6'6". That was about a foot taller than David. And he puts his armor on David, and David couldn't go with it. He had never tested it. So he takes it off, and he gets his staff, and he gets 5 smooth stones. And he goes out to meet Goliath. And you know, I think that Saul didn't think he was able to do it. And he didn't think that the way he went was the proper way. And Goliath certainly didn't think that he was the rightful challenger. As he came out, he looked at him and he thought, "What in the world did they send this kid out here for to fight me?" You know, 40 days he had taunted Israel. "Give me a man." And now this young fella comes out. And he comes out with his sling and his stone. You know, 40 days he had challenged Israel. 40 days. Maybe this was day 41. But you know, he didn't realize that today was going to be his last day. It's interesting. I didn't think about this until just recently. You know, I was reading a book about the Titanic, that great, beautiful ship that they made over in England. And as I was reading, there was a chapter in there that says even God can't sink the Titanic. And this is the way Goliath felt. He felt like, I'm unsinkable. I'm undefeatable. But David came out. And he came out in the power of the Lord. He came out armed with the tools that he was used to. He had tried him in private. He had trusted God in private. And he knew God was able. It's great here, the challenge that they give. But you know, this was the last day for Goliath. It was the last day for Goliath. He didn't realize that today that he was going to die and go out into eternity. I was in the Air Force, and the late 60s, early 70s. And I remember we did a survey on the base where I lived. And it was interesting. One of the engine men in my outfit got saved. It was a wonderful thing to see the turnaround in that man's life. He had trusted Christ. That day, he changed course. He was on his way to a lost eternity. And he turned And now he's on his way to heaven. But he told me, he said, I went to the infirmary. And I can still remember the guy I talked to. This is maybe 50 years ago. But the man he was a young man, 24 years old. He had a nice mustache. And he was the man that you met when you walked into the infirmary. I don't know why Bob went there. But Bob, I think he was sent. Bob stopped and talked to this guy. He said, I just got saved. He said, I don't know much about it. He said, but I knew I was a sinner. I knew I was lost. I knew I was on my way to hell. And this guy knocks on my door and he talks to me about the Lord and tells me that I need to be saved. And he told me how that Christ died for me. And I got saved. And this young man, he talked to him a little while. He says, you need to get saved. And he told me later, he says, I didn't know what to say, but that's what I said to him. And that guy said, you know, I'm only 24 years old. I'm only 24. I got a long time to live. When I get older, I'll take care of that. It was a picture of health. But within a week, something happened. I don't know if he had a stroke. But what the problem was, they said when they found him, one side of his face was bright red. They took him to the hospital. He lived another week. He was gone. He says, I'm only 24. I have a long time to live. But he went out to a lost eternity. Goliath says, give me a man. I can beat the whole army. That day he went out into eternity. He met the God that he defied. And you know, if what happened in Luke 16, where the rich man died and lifted up his eyes in torment, happened in that day, he's there in the fire. He's crying out for mercy. You know, David went out. Everybody thought, this is not the right way to go. You need a sword or a spear. David went out with a sling and a stone. And, you know, when the Lord came, they were looking for a king on a white charger to deliver them from Rome and from all kinds of bondage. But, you know, they had this sin problem. They had this sin problem. They were hopeless and helpless to get to God, to get to heaven. And, you know, they were looking for a king to deliver them. But the Lord had came, he was coming as a savior. He was coming to go to Calvary. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd layeth down his life for the sheep. Isaiah 53 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, that was not what they expected. They were looking for the Messiah. They wanted to see the Messiah. But the Messiah came and they didn't recognize him. But thank God he came and he died on Calvary's cross. He came, we were hopeless and helpless. We were doomed and damned for a life and an eternity in hell. But Christ came. Christ came to deliver us. You know, It's interesting what David and Goliath talk about here at the end. But David was a man of faith, and David knew his God, and he knew that what God could do. You know, it's a wonderful thing. It's nice to see the young man playing the piano or keyboard, whatever. That's nice. It's nice to see young people going on for the Lord, really going on. And David was one of those kind. He's like some of you folks here. And David had trusted God in private. And he knew that God could deliver him now in public. And it's interesting, he says, this day, he had no doubts, this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I'll smite thee and take thy head off. And the Lord did. And you know, you have the two kings. One was shaking in fear, and the other was walking in faith. And God used that man. You know, Saul had been disobedient. He hadn't done what God told him to do. And God couldn't use him anymore. You know, sin ruins our walk with God. But David was walking by faith. And it's wonderful to see the results. When he smote Goliath and cut off his head, the Philistines saw it and Israel saw it. And the Philistines took off. And because of David's courage and David's faith, now Israel takes off after him. And they have the victory. You know, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. You know, you have the two responses. Saul was full of fear. David was living by faith. And Saul was cowering, and the army was afraid. When David defeats Goliath, then the people are encouraged to go on. You know, as leaders go, so go the people. It's a solemn thing. You know, we see it. We see it. If you want to read all the way through Kings, you can see as the different ones follow the Lord and live for the Lord. And David's the standard from here on. As they live, as David lived and honored God, David was not perfect, but as they lived and honored God, The kingdom went well. The nation went well. There was prosperity and there was peace. But when they had an ungodly leader, they struggled and they didn't have peace. You know, God wants to take away those fears. He wants to take away perhaps your fear of being lost for eternity. He would like to give you a peace that passes understanding. And he's the only one that can give it to you. Christ died. Christ died on Calvary's cross to save your soul. Christ died on Calvary's cross to give you peace. And to give you a home in heaven. Joy that is beyond our comprehension. But he offers it to us. He offers it to us free and clear. It's up to us to take advantage, to take it. I remember our time's about up. I was raised in an orphanage. And I'd never heard the gospel before. Until I went to the orphanage. And the reason I went to the orphanage was the man of the house died. And I realized, well, I didn't realize, but I thought, where do people go when they die? What happens to people when they die? I was 8 years old. What happens to people when they die? This kept going through my mind. I went to the orphanage 2 weeks later. The one relief house parent, husband died. I thought, what happens to people when they die? The orphanage was on this side of the road. It was an old people's home on that side of the road. Well, every now and then the hearse would go down the street. And I just happened to see it. I thought, what happens to people when they die? You know, when little kids think that. And it's a good thing to think about. What happens to people when they die? Then they had these gospel meetings. And the church I went to, I don't know where they got the preachers, but they were good preachers. They told us what happens to people when they die. What it all depends on is if you're in Christ, if you're saved, if you've called out and asked the Lord to save you from your sins, you can be saved. You can go to heaven. That's what happens. But if you refuse, if you just put it off like our young man back in Albuquerque, if you refuse salvation, if you refuse that wonderful gift that God is willing to give you, there's a lost eternity. And that day Goliath didn't realize. When that stone hit him, he was on his way to a lost eternity. I don't know where you stand today, but certainly here's a very wonderful verse that you need to really think about. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. We're perishing, but should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for this passage. There's so much more here that we could look at. The reason for Israel's struggles, even why Philistines were still here, even the anointing of David and all the battle that he fought for Israel. But Father, we thank you and praise you that we thank you and praise you that David was able to deliver these people from their fear and to give them back their courage that they could fight the fight that you had called them to. We just pray, Father, today that you would help us, first of all, to put our trust in thee, that we might be like David, to have our faith fully in the Lord Jesus Christ, to know that he is able to do all things. There's nothing too hard for him. And then to live for him and to do what he wants us to do, if it's to be a witness and to honor and please him. Father, we just pray today that you would just guide and direct. We thank you for this passage, and we thank you for this time, and we thank you in the Lord Jesus' name.